This is a Sound Rebel podcast.
Discover more of our shows at soundrebel.co.uk.
The monster of FPL, Mo, put on yet another show with a hat-trick to begin game week one. The highly owned Ober put Fulham to bed, but there was nothing from Heung-min Son. It was promising from Werner, but there was just an assist. His close friend Wilson going one better. Lamptey and Lewis, the 4.5 mil fullbacks, could well be early trendsetters. Ings and Southampton flattered to deceive, whereas Jimmy and Wolves blitzed Sheffield United. Now is not the time to panic. Just breathe, my friends. There's another 37 game weeks to get excited. Welcome to the 52nd episode of Triple Captain.
Here we go then. Game week one, done and dusted. I think we should all feel pretty proud of ourselves. Just getting that out there early on, you know.
We started pretty well, didn't we, boys?
Yeah, all captain Mo Salah. Come on, what a decision that was.
It all went pretty well, didn't it?
No, we always forget this. Let's introduce ourselves. Just to remind you, my name's Rich Wolfenden, commentator for TalkSport. Finished 62k in the world last year, which feels like a bit of a brag now, to be honest. However, I am joined by my good friend Luke Jurdy, who did a little bit better.
Hello, yes, it's my third season of taking FPL seriously. That's my excuse for finishing so low in the seasons before actually looking at stats and things like that. Yeah, I'm Luke Jurdy and we are Triple Captain at Triple Captain 3 on Twitter and Instagram. Lots of interaction going on there. I am at Luke Jurdy on Twitter. I'm an actor by trade, FPL player by, don't know,
most, the rest of the time.
That's it. FPL player.
It's true though.
The rest of the time. So we're going to be doing this week. We're going to be doing a quick game week one review, how we did, because we all did pretty well. And then we're going to be talking about United and City assets. We're going to be discussing our watch list from game week one. Who do you want to get in? And we will be taking our Twitter questions.
Cool. That's all to kick off. Well, should we just start by reviewing game week one and how we got on and who delivered for us?
Yeah. Do you want to kick us off, Rich?
Yeah. So what was the first game of the season again? I can't remember now. Was it Arsenal? It was Arsenal, wasn't it, against Fulham? And I think pretty much everybody had Aubameyang in their team, didn't they? I think they got 50% ownership or something like that. So I think for game week one, the world of FPL was split in half with who to captain, whether it be Aubameyang or whether it be Mo Salah. And I had Aubameyang in my side. He got his goal, obviously a nice big 7 points from him, but I didn't captain him. I did put that on Mo Salah, who absolutely flipping delivered. Hat trick on game week one. Come on, he can't get a better start than that. I've seen people triple captain him, but those people are just absolute psychopaths. So I don't know who's using that on game week one. But,
you know what? My brother, sorry, hello, I'm Ben, I'm the producer. My brother Charlie was going to triple captain him and took it off at the last minute.
Yeah, but Charlie also made his team 15 minutes before the deadline.
That's true. He's had
all summer to do it and he did it 15 minutes to go. But yeah, no, I think Mo Salah has been my absolute hero this weekend, which I'm pretty happy with. I brought in Van Dijk as well. He got me a nice big 7 at the back. Got the second goal for Liverpool, I think it was. Everybody else in the midfield didn't deliver. Callum Wilson, everybody's favourite German, delivered a lovely goal for us. And yeah, I finished on a nice round 74 points on game week one. So I'm 577k at the moment, which I'm pretty happy with for game week one, considering I didn't really know what was going to happen or anything like that. But yeah, the gambles that didn't pay off. Havertz didn't deliver. He cost me a lot of money. Kane didn't deliver. Tottenham looked woeful. And then Dean Garner didn't deliver anything for West Brom. They got spanked. But then Kyle Walker-Peters, Flair Pierneck, when I say that he got set off, all the WhatsApp chats were just going because everyone has Kyle Walker-Peters as well. But quite rightly, I think that decision was overruled by the video assistant referee. But yeah, a nice big 74 for game week one. What about you, Luke?
Yep, it was a good start for me as well. I got 78 points. I think just pipped you to the post there. And I think I also just pipped Ben to the post. So a game week rank of 376,000. Before before the Monday night fixtures, I think I was about 133,000. So those Chelsea assets just brought me back down. But yeah, I mean, everybody knows kind of the way I put my team together this season with the maths kind of points per 90 approach. And I put together this team, which should be scoring around about 67 points per 90 minutes. So 78 is a great start. We're kind of, to win FPL, you need around 67 points per game week. So to get a really good rank, you probably want to be aiming for, you know, 60 at the minimum, going right up to, you know, 65, 66, 67.
Yeah.
So for us to be ahead of that already, you know, me by 11 points, I'm really, really happy with that. It kind of means that next week, you know, I could score 50 or so and still kind of be at that nice average where I want to be at the end of the season. So I'm really happy with that.
I mean, the average this week was like, I mean, I don't know what the average was last year. I presume it was 40 something, but quite a high 50 in game week one. Like, everybody's assets pretty much delivered. You know, Vardy scored, Salah scored, or Aubameyang scored. It was only really Mane and Kane out of the premium players who didn't really score any high points.
Yeah, an average of 50 is quite high considering the amount of people that play the game. So yeah, it was good to get off the mark. I mean, I suppose the thing is, the caveat to scoring those 78 points for me is that there was only, you know, over half of those points came from captain Mo Salah. I mean, the absolute monster of FPL, as I've been saying over and over again since, you know, however long. I said Salah, yeah. I said in our end of season podcast, I said Salah is the first name on my team sheet. He'll more than likely be my captain, depending on who he's playing. I did flitter over the idea of Aubameyang, but you've got Salah at home. He scored
a newly promoted team.
He scored 50 goals in 63 home appearances for Liverpool. He's the second quickest player to 50 goals at home in the Premier League after Alan Shearer, who did it in 49 games, incredibly. How on earth can anybody be on Twitter and be complaining about the look of owning Mo Salah, or like the look of two penalties, or the look of, you know, I didn't pick Salah, I'm absolutely gutted. I didn't captain Salah, I'm absolutely gutted. Like, it is there for all to see, the guy's pedigree.
Yeah.
It would have been unlucky if he didn't return. He's returned, you know, he scored 50 goals in 63 games. Not to mention his assists. If he's playing at Anfield, he tends to return points. So it was that simple for us, wasn't it? And we got it. I mean, I'm certainly not gloating, and I was close to putting it on Aubameyang as well, but I went for the safe option. Salah is your safe option in a fixture like that, and thankfully he delivered. You might argue that he was a little bit lucky with penalties, but he had about 9 shots. He will be in my team throughout the season. I'm very, very, very unlikely to take him out.
Yeah, same. I mean, imagine you didn't have Salah in your team right now. You'd be on, like, what, 38 points, something like that?
Yeah, exactly.
And then all of a sudden, you are way off. I mean, it's only game week one, but you're so far off the chasing pack, like, from game week one. And to be able, it's like when for actual teams lose their opening match on the opening day, like, mentally you're already like, oh, I'm already playing catch up. That's kind of what it would have been like for you if you'd not stuck the armband on Salah, or not picked him, sorry.
Yeah, I'm really, really glad that I stuck with it. And, you know, you got to stick to that plan. But yeah, so he massively overperformed, which, you know, possibly lucky, possibly not. I personally don't think it is when you've picked someone like him. I also got Aubameyang, who got his goal. I went for TAA and Robertson at the back in the end, and Robertson looked great. I'm really happy that I've gone for that double up. I know we might talk about their shaky defence in a bit, but I'm not too worried about that. He got an assist. James Justin got 9 points.
That's mental.
Absolutely superb. And yeah, apart from that, there was only Wilson, our German friend Wilson, who scored.
How long is this joke going to go on for?
Like, all season.
Someone who's listening to this for the first time.
Someone
who's literally just started listening to this today has gone like, "What? Why the hell is they think that Callum Wilson is German?" It's in the previous episode. He was partnered alongside Werner and Wilson. Anyway. Right,
but I also started with Son, who obviously only got his 2. Sam Maximan with 3, Danny Ings with 2, Walker Peters with 1. Thank God he didn't get sent off; otherwise, we'd have all sorts of fires to put out in our teams right now. And Matt Ryan just starting with a 1 with a tough fixture against Chelsea. So yeah, and a really good start for me. What about you, Ben?
Well, I nearly took a minus 12 today.
Wait, what did you get overall with your points?
I'm sorry, I don't mean to turn this into FPL Anonymous, because actually I did get 76 points.
That's good.
But again, that's all because of Mo Salah. You know, first thing I've got to say is that Son, I always hate having him in my team. I've got him in this week because I've got 1.5 in the bank and I'm going to transfer in Fernandes, which I've already done. So Son is out of my team. I just thought I'd get him in to see if he got points on the first day. Every time I have Son in my team, it's a disappointment. All through last season, and I swear I'm tempted in mainly by you, Luke, and he never delivers. So I'm very glad to see the back of him. And I've got to say, the reason for the minus 12 is I'm looking at it, and I was so disappointed in Alexander-Arnold. Like, who could have predicted that he'd have such a dreadful game?
I know.
It was literally everything. It was his tracking back. It was his going forward. He was making mistakes all over the place, and he just didn't... I don't know what's going on.
I think it was just Liverpool did not expect Leeds to come at them like they did, because they just ran at them like Calvin Phillips. Is it Phillips who scored the second goal?
Second goal was Harrison.
Yeah, it was the first goal. It was Harrison. He ran through the defence, just skipped past TAA.
Yeah.
Gomez just went flying in and just slotted it past the goalkeeper. But I think that's because Liverpool aren't used to, you know, or didn't expect Leeds to just come onto them like they did. They were pretty impressive going forward, Leeds. I don't know how long they'll be able to keep up that style of play, though, in the Premier League.
Yeah, I mean, if you remember, a similar thing happened against Norwich last season. Norwich weren't as good at finishing as Leeds were. But Liverpool were playing, I mean, they mentioned it on Match of the Day, Liverpool were playing quite a high line in defence, almost like how Bayern played in the Champions League, apparently, which I didn't actually watch. But this kind of high line, it's clearly not really worked again. I can't imagine that they'll stick with that. I mean, they certainly can't stick with it when they're playing Timo Werner and Chelsea. So I'm really not worried about TAA. I've seen people like on about transferring him out already. It just honestly absolutely baffles me. It's a 38 game season. And I've covered myself really with having Robertson in there as well, because I thought he was fantastic. He was forward lots and he was taking free kicks and corners on both sides, which
is a
little bit worrying for TAA owners. But I think there's probably a reason for that. And I think there's no way that TAA is going to accept Robertson beating him for assists this season. They've got that battle going on, haven't they? You know,
they do.
I just don't think there's any need to panic on him yet.
Okay. No, I'd stick with him. Is he one of your minus fours there, Ben? Yeah, TAA.
Yeah, he would have been. I just think that the money now, the thinking was actually this. I could take him down to Robbo, for example. And I know it's only a 0.5, but sometimes you can really use that in different places.
No, 100%.
Chelsea, you've got Kepa in goal. If they don't buy another keeper by the time they play Liverpool on Sunday and Alexander-Arnold has a free kick from 25, 30 yards out, he's going to ping that into the top corner against Chelsea.
Okay. Right. So don't panic, basically.
Don't panic on TAA.
I think defensively, I know what you mean. Like Liverpool's success was off high pressing or dropping back and then using their ridiculously fast wingers to kind of break them down. So I don't know why they'd, you know, go for the patient, almost Manchester City kind of like high line. It's very un-Kloppish to do that.
Just finishing off the back line very quickly then. I've also got Kyle Walker-Peters in my team, who obviously we've talked about. And also, Lewis at Newcastle, Jamal Lewis, came back with 7 points, which was great. And you know what? He's still quite, 2.9% selected. And I don't know. I don't know if you guys watched the Newcastle game. They're a team who look quite well put together, and there's a nice pace to the game. And he was flying up, Lewis, and he was getting stuck in. Like, it's one of those games where you just kind of kept hearing his name. Yeah, I think he could be a good differential. Sticking on Newcastle, I got no points for Fraser in my midfield. But I have to say, I think that Ryan Fraser got a massive shout out from Steve Bruce after their Carabao Cup game this week. He said that his goal was the only real moment of creativity in the game or something like that, which obviously is not great for the team as a whole, but I think he might get that start now. So I'm going to stick with him now. But no, I think the interesting, you know, Callum Wilson, 8 points, which is great. And I did have Werner. Have you guys got Werner?
No. Opted for Harry Kane.
What do you guys think of Werner? Because there was so much kind of, in terms of ownership, it is a 43.8% ownership, which actually I'm sure it was over 50 last week. So people have got him out already.
Chelsea just didn't seem to gel. They looked like a team who just made loads of brand new signings. So maybe it'll take time until they start to click into place. I know they won 3-1 and whatever, but you know, they were playing Brighton and their players are so much better than Brighton's players. But even when the full time whistle blew, like, Frank Lampard didn't look happy with how his team had played. They were the better side. And Havertz didn't look particularly great, which is kind of concerning for my team. Werner looked okay. And yeah, I don't know. They just haven't quite clicked yet. Like, obviously, if they had a proper pre-season, then it would have been better. But maybe it'll be a couple of weeks until we see them, you know, in top gear. But I wouldn't be too concerned because, you know, they're top players. They paid a lot of money for them, and Chelsea will almost definitely get Champions League this season.
Yeah, I think just to go back to Newcastle quickly before talking about Werner and Chelsea, I think they looked pretty good, but I'd just exercise a little bit of caution with Newcastle. They only had two shots on target, and of course those were they were the two goals. I think West Ham were a little bit unlucky not to score. They hit the bar twice. They had 16 shots altogether. I mean, only three of those were on target. And I think, you know, West Ham could be in trouble, but I don't think it's as bad as people are making out. But Lewis, I think, looked great. I mean, he was really advanced, put in a good cross early on, and he was involved lots along with our friend Wilson, who looked very hungry, linking up well with Lewis. And you can only imagine once Fraser comes in that they're going to link up really well. And, you know, I mean, I was surprised actually that Callum Wilson's only scored more than 10 once in a Premier League season. You'd imagine that he'll score more than 10 this season, and I think he will be the main man for Newcastle. I think with Wilson, you've got to know when to jump off him. You can kind of maybe see the form dip coming and go, okay, I need to move him out now for someone like Chris Wood, or, you know, think about those fixtures if you've got Wilson. I certainly will be.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's because he's had a lot of injuries as well, and he's quite an injury-prone striker, isn't he? So he never really, you know, if he does get away for form going, it can often be broken up by, you know, an ankle injury or something like that, which sees him out for a few weeks, and then he takes a few weeks to get back into it, which is the concern for Newcastle fans.
Mm. But yeah, and I'm a little bit worried about Sam Maximan. Didn't really seem to be that involved, and there's a tiny risk of rotation, I think. I was thinking about Newcastle's midfielders, and I was thinking, will Sam Maximan maybe be benched? So I'm a little bit worried about him, but I can't really afford to move him out just yet. So he'll be staying for now. And yeah, Chelsea, I thought, yeah, I was very similar thoughts to you, Rich. I didn't think they were that great. I mean, Werner looked very, very dangerous, though. I think he looked really, really good. And I think if he had better players behind him, which he will with Pulisic coming back, and, you know, Loftus-Cheek won't be starting every game, I think I'll certainly be looking to get him in at some point this season. I think he does look very, very dangerous. But, you know, when you've got Jimenez there at the moment at $8.5 million, he looked just as good, on a kind of different level to Werner. But he looked great. So, yeah, I think I was quite glad, really, that I thought Brighton were unlucky. And I think if they hadn't conceded that penalty, it could have been a bit more nervy for Chelsea. So they're ones to watch, but I'm glad I didn't kind of start with either of them, really. But I will be scared. Yeah. I will be scared of not owning Werner.
Yeah. Sorry, there's a kid who keeps going past on a skateboard outside my window. Can you hear him?
Yeah, it's okay. Yeah.
It's a proper little shit. He's about 8 years old, doing kickflips off the curb.
So, boys, the final fixture to talk about is Everton and Tottenham. Then I think we pretty much covered it all FBL-wise, haven't we?
Yeah. Tottenham and Everton, great game from an Everton point of view. I never thought we would have won that, but we looked pretty comfortable against Tottenham. That's like the first time we've beaten like one of the big six away from home since 2013. And yeah, just Tottenham, a bit like Chelsea, they didn't seem to click, but Tottenham and Jose Mourinho, like when they play bad, they play so, so bad. Kane hardly touched the ball. All right, they had a couple of chances in the first half, but Dele Alli got subbed off at half time as well. I know we were discussing Dele Alli on our Game Week 1 preview, and well, he had his answer for us there, didn't he, coming off after 45 minutes. But yeah, I think Tottenham were pretty bad. I'm thinking of maybe dropping Kane and bringing in Vardy. Similar kind of price point this year. But Everton looked great. Like, I'd really like to get some Everton players in, and I didn't at all go near any blue players last year because we were so inconsistent. But Calvert-Lewin looked good again. Richarlison had about six chances. He looked really dangerous. James Rodriguez looks like a top player. Whether he'll be able to get some goals to match his form is another question. And then again, the midfield three, like Alan, Decore and Gomez, they were all, you know, passing it around. They were very fluid, and it was just so nice to see. And Luca Dean getting a wonderful assist as well. So strangely, there's quite a lot of options at Everton, which I never thought I'd see in FPL again. But yeah, Richarlison, I think if I was to pick anybody, he looked like he was on fire. He was unlucky not to get a goal.
Yeah, nothing further to add really from me. I agree with all that, and worth keeping an eye on. I mean, I'm not rushing to bring in lots of Everton players just yet, because I know a lot of people are, but I'm just going to keep an eye on them. But they looked really impressive, and yeah, Spurs, oh dear. Oh dear, oh dear, oh dear.
Yeah, it's a struggle for them, isn't it? Cool, we're going to move on to game week two and discuss the return of the two Manchester clubs.
Yeah, let's do it. So United and City join the action in game week two, along with Burnley and Aston Villa, of course.
Oh, yeah.
Can't forget about them. And Villa have made some good signings, but we won't talk about
that
just
yet. Busy week.
United play Crystal Palace and City have a tough opener against Wolves. Have you brought anyone in from either team, Rich? Have you got a plan to bring them in? What do you think is going to happen there?
I would absolutely love to have Bruno Fernandes in. I don't quite have the money for it yet. The idea in my mind right now, like I just said, I'm thinking of taking out Kane and bringing in Vardy. Or I might just have to wait until I get my two transfers. Don't really want to take a hit at this point of the season. I think it's too early for that. Because I want to get Bruno in. And I think I might have to take out Havertz if he doesn't deliver on game week two. So for this game week, I think I'm going to steer clear of City and United assets. There's just... When was their last game? Like their last proper game, Manchester United?
Against Aston Villa earlier in the week. Friendly where we beat them 1-0.
Oh, was it?
Yeah, Ollie Watkins scored, yeah.
Oh, did he? Oh, I didn't know that. Yeah. Okay, so, see, I thought Manchester United hadn't had any like pre-season tests at all. So I thought they were going to come to this quite dry now. I'm sort of thinking Manchester United again now. Bruno Fernandes is the one I want to get in, but for this game week, I don't think I'm going to touch any Manchester City or Manchester United assets. Why are you thinking of making wholesale changes to your squad?
No, but I've stuck to my initial plan. I left $1.5 million in the bank in order to move Son to Bruno for game week two, or possibly game week three. I mean, if Son had scored a hat-trick and Spurs had looked fantastic, I maybe would have held him for the Southampton game. But it was an easy decision for me to stick to my plan. So I've already brought Bruno in. I was a little bit worried about price rises, but it looks like, because of the blank game week, it looks like City and United aren't going to get any price rises so far, because they've had Fernandes and De Bruyne have had enough sales for people to for a price rise, considering like Willian's already gone up in price, Bamford's gone up in price. Bamford's so odd that he's gone up in price and that people are bringing him in. So odd. One of the oddest decisions. I'm exaggerating slightly. I can kind of understand why people brought him in, because he scored. But yeah, so I've brought Bruno in, and my plan is to go Aubameyang to Sterling game week three.
Oh, you're going to take out Aubameyang? That's such a risk, because he's so highly owned.
He's highly owned, but his fixtures change and he tends to do better against the lesser clubs. I think that Arsenal have got Liverpool away, then Sheffield United at home, then Man City away, then Leicester at home, and then Man United away. That's a really tough run. And I think Sterling will outscore him in those weeks. And then I'll think about bringing him back in, because then they've got Villa and Leeds. A lovely couple of fixtures there.
Yeah.
So that's the plan at the moment. But who knows, you know, someone might get injured or my plans might change. But at the moment, that is the plan, to get get Sterling in. And then use that 0.5 million that I'll make on Aubameyang to maybe go Ings to Martial, or maybe Ings to Jimenez, and then upgrade a defender to a 5 million, you know, like someone like Sice at Wolves or Bellerin at Arsenal. Probably not Bellerin at sixth fixtures.
So you're not looking at any Manchester City options apart from Sterling?
Obviously, I'm interested in KDB as well. But I think at the moment, I think I'll be going for Sterling. I also like Laporte. I think it's a very easy move for me to go to, say, Andrew Robertson down to Laporte if I need to, and save that 1 million. So I'm interested in him as well.
Who's going to be playing alongside him at centre-back this season? Because I'm just looking at like other centre-back options for Man City. Obviously, they brought in Nathan Ake. Presumably, you know, they paid a lot of money for him. He'll be the one who starts alongside him. But then they've got Garcia, who's only 5 mil. They've got Stone still, who's 5 mil, and Otamendi as well. And then Fernandinho, who's a defender this year at 5.5, and they're pretty decent prices for defenders, who for a side a lot of people are pipping for the title this season.
I think it'll be rotation, won't it? I mean, what do you think? I think it'll be Laporte will be the main man and start most games, and then the other centre back position will be rotated between the few of them, depending on how Ake starts.
Yeah, I'm just thinking, like, Ake, he's left footed, isn't he?
I don't know.
I think he's left footed, and so's Laporte, and I'm just trying to think. For Pep, he loves to have balance in his side, so he'd like to have a left-sided centre-back who's left-footed, which would be Laporte, and then he'd want a right-footed, right-sided centre-back. which I don't think Ake is. I mean, I could be wrong on that, but...
I think Garcia is the one, and I know it's, which is funny to say, because Ake's ownership is 7.3 at $5.5 million. Yeah. And Garcia's ownership at $5 million is at 0.3%. Garcia's name is coming up more often than the others. I think, you know, there's obvious ones in there. You know, don't pick Stones for $5 million, for God's sake. You know, I think it's Garcia and Ake, really.
Not Laporte. Oh, sorry, in rotation with.
Yeah, yeah. I think those two are the ones who are fighting it out. And I think, I mean, I've also decided, haven't I, that I'm not going to get any Man City players this season because I'm fed up with the rotation. Oh, yeah. I don't want to think about it. I'm still thinking I'm going to do a whole season without them.
Okay, we'll see. We'll see whether that you stick to that or whatever. But speaking of other assets then, Villa and Burnley, you looking at any of them? I've got what's-his-name coming off the bench this week, Charlie Taylor.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not looking at them at the moment just because of the other moves that I'm planning to make. But I went with Nealon to start with, and obviously they've just signed Martinez, so I think he'll be firmly staying on my bench. So come on, Matty Ryan, hopefully you can produce some points for me in goal. But yeah, they're a wait and see for me. I like Chris Wood though from Burnley, so he could quite easily come in for Wilson if need be.
Go on then, Ben. How amazing are Villa going to be?
You know what? I'm quite chuffed. I think Martinez is a great signing today. And FPL-wise, I think he's only 4.5 million for a starting keeper. And Villa, I said this before, after we came back from lockdown, Villa tightened up defensively massively. And not only that, like I think the partnership of Konsa and Mings, they both changed their numbers as well. So they've like got proper first-team squad numbers now. Those two together, their partnership developed really well. They're tough. They both can move forward with strength, but kind of change it around a bit. And they get the big and strong in the box, those Villa defenders. But we've now got the two Matts, Matty Target, who we had last season, and Matty Cash, who we just brought up. Who we just bought. So, and, you know, lots of good talk around him, Matty Cash. I mean, FPL-wise, I think he's probably a little bit too expensive. But I think it's worth looking at Villa players and looking at the clean sheets. And also... Watkins, I'm really happy with. I think he's a great addition to the team. Top scorer in the championship last year.
Yeah. Do you reckon he'll make the step up?
Yeah, I do. I think, I mean, I know it was the Carabao Cup and then a friendly against Man United. So, it's, you know, obviously we start this weekend. But I think he's not going to be taking shots from everywhere. He's a finisher. You know,
Gets in the box.
Yeah, exactly. And that's exactly what we need up there. We need someone tough who will get in the box and just, you know, that kind of Shearer-esque, no nonsense. Let's just put it in the goal and move on. Do you know what I mean?
I think
he'll bring that to Villa, which is good.
Surely though, like out of everybody at Villa, Grealish has got to be your first choice. I mean, he's already owned by 10.5% of people who play the game.
Signed a 5-year contract with the Villa as well.
Seen that. That came out of nowhere, that.
Yeah, really, really chuffed. Obviously, over the moon about that.
Yeah, but, yeah. Are you not going to be getting Grealish in then? No, 7 million. Because last season, he pretty much single-handedly carried Villa to safety, didn't he? Let's be honest.
Well, him and Trezeguet. Like, he did the kind of the legwork, and Trezeguet kind of finished him when we needed him to. But... yeah, I think he scored a good goal in the Carabao Cup. You know, it was Burton Albion, but we played Burton Albion at Burton 3-1. But it was 1-1 up until about 87 minutes. And, you know, we kind of left it to the end. But then Grealish got one. And also Keenan Davis, who a lot of people own.
I did hear $4.5 million.
He came on. Yeah, so they swapped out Watkins for Keenan Davis. And even though he wasn't on the pitch for very long, Keenan, but even he got a goal in as well. So it feels like there's confidence there, for sure.
Yeah.
So, City and United.
we covered them well there, yeah.
We've covered everything, really, haven't we? Should we do a little brief run? I mean, we've obviously spoken about quite a few players that we're interested in, but are there any more that take your eye? Let's talk watch lists. Do you keep a watch list, you two?
Keep a mental one.
Okay.
I don't write them down. I watch Match of the Day and I think, oh, yeah, he looked all right. That's why I was like listing off all the Everton players before, who I think look half decent. But yeah, no, I don't write them down. Why do you have like a little watch list book?
No, there's an option on the Fantasy Premier League website.
Oh, is that?
To add to watch list. Yeah.
Look at that. Just revolutionised Rich's whole management style.
Him trying to take the piss out of me saying I keep a book. No. There's a handy tool online. So basically you have to be on the browser version. It's not on the app. You have to be on the browser version, and you just go to transfers, and when you're scrolling through players, you can add to watch list, and then there'll be a little, there's on the drop down menu. This is for those who don't know, which is including my co-host. On the drop down menu, you just click watch list, and then the players that you've put on there. So I always keep my watch list updated, and when it comes to making transfers, I just look at that because I think, well, I've made that for a reason. I'm not going to start thinking about other players that aren't on my watch list. So at the moment, I'll do a quick rundown of mine, shall I, as you've not got one.
No, I'm making mine as you speak. Accidentally added El Mohammadi, didn't you?
I'll do a very quick rundown of the players on my watch list from game week one. So I've put Gaita on there for Crystal Palace. I thought fantastic performance from him, and they were solid at the back. I've got Saïss of Wolves, who could have had like three goals. He was really attacking, and Wolves look great. I've got Luca Dean, who we've spoken about. I've got Jamal Lewis, who we've spoken about. I've got Bellerin in there. I thought he was quite advanced, and Arsenal looked like they're playing wing backs. And I've also put in Lamptey from Brighton, who looked brilliant against Chelsea. Thought he had a brilliant game, perhaps a little bit overexcitable in the tackle, and got his yellow card, but I think he's a great option at 4.5. Midfielders, I've got Willian, for obvious reasons. He got his 3 assists, looked good. Zaha of Palace, who looked hungry. Harrison of Leeds at 5.5. Podence and Neto of Wolves at 5.5. Yeah. Both started. Could be a risk of rotation there, though. I've got Helder Costa from Leeds, who's also 5.5. James Rodriguez and Decore, another 5.5 there, Decore, who we spoke about. And then up front, I've got Vardy, Calvert-Lewin, Jimenez and Timo Werner on the watch list.
That's good, yeah. Wouldn't disagree with any of them. So on my watch list, I've only got El Mohammadi, because I don't know how to... how to take him out of view it again.
Should we do Twitter questions?
Oh yeah, go on, we've got many.
Great, so we've got a few, yeah. We'll kick off with James Priestley, who I've spoken to a few times on Twitter, and he always interacts with our account. So hello, James. He's at JP Navara on Twitter. And he asks, after Chelsea's inauspicious start, thoughts on Chelsea's assets versus other big clubs?
Yeah, it's a tough one, because you can see, especially for this week with Manchester United and Manchester City options being available. I don't know. I think it's too early in the season to be just disregarding these Chelsea players already. Maybe if you want to, you know, take a hit and bring in Bruno Fernandes or Martial or whatever, and, you know, get rid of Werner and Havertz and whatever, by all means do that. But I think I'm probably going to stick with Havertz. You know, spent a lot of time coming up with this game week one team so that they had the longevity for the first few weeks of the season. So I'm not going to be making any changes, and advise you not to make any changes. You know, stick with what you've made your decision on.
Yeah, I mean, at the moment, Chelsea are a wait and see for me, just like they were on game week one. I'm not rushing to bring in Havertz, Ziyech, Mount or anyone like that. And I think Aubameyang, Salah, KDB, Sterling, Fernandes are all better. Alan Duffin, another friend of the podcast, always interacts and sends us messages. Hello, Alan. I think we're going to have him on at some point as well. He's got a great record, great FPL record. What are the panel's thoughts on a 5-4-1 or 4-5-1 system?
I was thinking the panel.
Nice, isn't it?
I like that.
Feel like we're on Gillette Soccer Saturday for FPL.
So 5-4-1 or 4-5-1 with three of the five midfielders being premiums and using one sole premium striker up front. Midfielders invariably prove to be more lucrative for points than forwards, and an injured striker can easily be replaced, e.g. below, and he's just sent a little screenshot in of a team with Martial up front and four at the back, with Bruno, Aubameyang and Salah as the three premium midfielders. Or would you do the same with three premium midfielders and use two mid-priced forwards up front, like, for instance, Jimenez and Wilson or Calvert-Lewin, etc.?
I think the points are definitely in the midfield this season with the players available to you. So I just stock up on as many. If you were going to invest more premiums in one position, I'd say the midfield if I was you, and then just have a little less money spent up front with the likes of Wilson and Calvert-Lewin.
So would you prefer two mid-priced forwards up front, or would you prefer just the one premium striker up front?
I think, yeah, maybe two cheaper options than going in heavy.
At Callum JB1, thoughts on Wolves and their assets? And he's also asked wild card or not.
Oh God, we haven't even covered that, have we? I mean, I've seen a lot of people panicking with a wild card. Just give it time. Just give it time. No one's in any kind of form yet. So, you know, wait until, you know, people start to concede loads or people start to score loads until you start making your changes. No, I wouldn't wild card. that's the answer more than anything.
No, and I mean, he hasn't posted his team, so I couldn't really say whether it's a wild card or not. Maybe if you're on zero points. But I agree. I mean, there's that meme, isn't there, of Salah, just where he just says, just relax. Yeah. I don't think there's any need. Like, I haven't planned to wild card. I mean, having said that, it's gone well, hasn't it, for all three of us? So it's a very easy decision to not wild card. So I get why people are doing it, but just relax. We're in a pandemic.
I've got a plan for my wild card. And last season, I tried leaving my wild card for as long as possible, was the idea. Before it, the new year. It was at Christmas Day, isn't it? Christmas cut off. I thought, leave it as long as I can, because then you can kind of see his form and it will push me through the rest of the season. I actually left it about 4 game weeks too late, I think. Maybe 5 game weeks too late to play it. And I'm therefore going to do it a lot earlier this season. And I'm thinking of doing it around when the transfer window ends, because I still think there's going to be a lot of movement. Like, I don't know, it just seems like there could be a month on from now. Because, well, how long is it really? Is it two and a half weeks until...
Yeah, still a long time. 20 days, something like that.
You know, we could have a load more options in that time.
Yeah. 100%. Yeah. Just going on to Wolves' assets. I like the look of that. Is it Marcel? The guy who started in place of Vinagre. And everybody was absolutely fuming who'd pick Vinagre. But we all knew he wasn't going to start. I don't know why. But yeah, he looked good. Just to rub salt in the wounds even more. Like the look of Jimenez, once again, his volley was absolutely sublime. Inside of the foot, placed into the top corner. And again, Podence, he looked really good. I mean, I think it was because Sheffield United were playing so expansively, and I don't know why they were playing so expansively. But against a team who sits back, which is probably the sensible thing which you should do against Wolves, they might find it a bit harder. But I think Jimenez is always probably going to be the standout performer, especially with Traore seemingly playing in a more defensive role in that game against Sheffield United as well. He was like the right wing back, wasn't he, rather than the right winger.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd agree with all of that. And Jimenez especially looked so good. He looked better than last season. Andrew Taylor asks us, and this is worth remembering that we do have some listeners that are fairly new to the game. So this is a question that obviously most listeners will know, but I think it's worth mentioning for Andrew's benefit. I think Andrew is friends with Chris Dickinson, who won our mini league last season.
Oh no.
And his friend Andrew started listening to us this season in order to try and keep up with Chris. So I love that little rivalry. Nice shout out for Chris there, who won our mini league, and I believe he started well as again, I think he got over 70 points. Andrew asks, is it worth making more than one transfer and costing you points? Also, how do the price changes work? And as a result, are early transfers prior to the deadline sensible? So quite a straightforward question for most, but good to answer, I think. Do you want to go with the taking hits, Rich, and I'll explain how the price changes work?
Taking hits is something that I think me and you, Luke, have been kind of against, haven't we? Because I think, you know, you've earned your money there and you don't really want to spend it where you don't have to. But yeah, just taking a hit, if you really, really want to get a team, say Manchester United are playing, sorry, Ben, Villa, Man United, West Ham United.
I've not forgotten when you sent around your predicted Premier League table and Villa were getting relegated again.
And they proved me wrong last year. Maybe they could do it again this year. But you know, like if you've got like 3 good fixtures and say Fernandes has just came into great form or something like that, and you can't afford to get him in straight away, so you have to rearrange your team. Just do it. Just take the hit. So
I think it's worth maybe listening back to our end of season FPL summit episode, Andrew, because we discuss at length. I think we discussed taking hits. I hope we did.
We did.
Yeah. And there was a bit, you know, that for some people it works, and for some people it doesn't work. So it is. Unfortunately, entirely up to you. You've just got to always work out how many points you're going to need from the player that you're bringing in order to make it worth it. So, like what Rich was saying, is right. If you're seeing it as a transfer for 3 to 4 game weeks rather than just one game week, it probably will be worth it over that time. But for instance, if a player's injured and they're guaranteed to get 0 points, if you take a -4, even if that player, if you didn't take that player out, you would have got 0 points, but you're already on -4. So the player that you brought in has to get over 4 points in order to make it worth it. So maybe if you're bringing someone in and you're going to captain them, it's perhaps worth it. So you've got to take all that into consideration. Price changes, I'll do a very quick rundown. Price changes work. There's two great websites, Fantasy Football Fix and FPLstatistics.co.uk, I think that's right. They go through which players are due to rise in price and which players are due to fall in price. At the moment, they'll be working it out. There's normally a new algorithm and the way FPL do it. So their systems will be working out what the algorithm is, and they will tell you which players are due to rise and fall. They normally rise and fall at about 1 a.m. So if you really desperately want to get a player in and you're worried they're going to rise, or you're worried that someone you're going to take out is going to fall, etc., then by all means, make the move.
Just a quick note on transfers out and value going down potentially. Have you seen that nearly 250,000 managers have transferred out Trent Alexander-Arnold?
After a quarter of a million?
Yeah, 250,000 this week transferred him out after that game.
Crazy.
So that's it for game week 2 then. Deadline is 11 a.m. Saturday morning. Once again, Everton, the early kickoff at home to West Brom, Monday Blues. You can follow us, remember, Twitter at TripleCaptain3, Instagram at TripleCaptain3. We'll put our teams up on there. We'll answer your questions. We'll just put general FPL chit chat. So yeah, follow us on there. And you can follow me at _WolfenDun as well.
Captains, boys. Who are you captaining?
Salah.
Salah against Chelsea.
I'm going Fernandes against Crystal Palace.
I think I'm on Aubameyang against West Ham.
Ooh, so we all united on Salah for game week 1, but now we're all divided.
I mean, yeah. I may go to Bruno.
Yeah, Bruno's the one.
Aubameyang for me at the moment.
Cool.
Good luck everyone for game week 2.
Discover more shows on the Sound Rebel Network.
Like the Big Pod Quiz.
Hello, my name is Charlie, and welcome to the Big Pod Quiz, a pub quiz in podcast form. Every week, we invite a special guest onto the quiz to take part in 5 rounds of pod quiz action. We bring the pub to you every Thursday at 7 p.m, so make sure you've got your beers chilled and your thinking caps ready to go head-to-head with some of the country's favourite musicians, sports commentators, radio hosts, and whoever else will do it for free. So, here's a quick taster of how it sounds. Question 1. What is the best podcast quiz available on all major podcast platforms? That's right, it's the Big Pod Quiz. Honestly, mate, who wrote this? This is the cheesiest thing that I've ever had to read.
Listen now on your chosen podcast app.